Welcome back to This Person I Met. My name is Kayla, and this is the second part of Johnny Walker's story. As you may remember from the last episode, Johnny served 46 years and 13 days in jail for armed robbery and a second charge, murder. Now, as the reentry specialist for A Brighter Way, he helps former inmates, who just like he did, struggle to find their place in the world after incarceration. In this episode, Johnny will share his struggles readjusting to a quickly progressing society and his search for human connection and humanity in our technology-driven world. Johnny's episode, for me, was truly eye-opening. Hearing how long his sentencing was, longer than my parents have even been alive, is something that I can't even fathom. Still, I can't imagine the time that incarceration took from him, time he cannot get back and he can only heal from. And yet, Johnny has one piece of advice for this young generation. What are some challenges you faced re-entering society?
Principally, communicating with the people who were in my life. It started with, you know, my immediate family, my siblings. I came home to a world I had been in contact with, but I really wasn't in contact with. You know, they came up and they shared a side of life within those couple of hours that didn't present the problems and the conditions they were facing, the conflicts amongst and the turmoil amongst themselves that was going on, to the point that it had been going on for decades and it had been inherited by their children.
Yeah.
So I'm coming back with the idea of, listen, you guys, you know, we were raised the way that we were raised, and we were terrorized by the old man. But dads, we long dead. We all adult. You guys have children. I don't have children of my own. But so we can do things differently. Mm-hmm. And then when I came back, I realized that they felt like we ain't trying to hear that shit. You know, we okay, yeah, love your brother and your sister and all that. Forgive them, but we ain't doing that. And they always had a but or a because. Mm-hmm. And so I was sad. Mm-hmm. Because for years, one of the things that was in my heart, a big slice of it was, man, I messed up as a big brother when I made the decisions, and especially that one that robbed that store. I was taken out of their lives. I've never been able to participate and show what a big brother is. Well, I could be the example that my old man wanted me to be for my siblings, and they were fractured. One of my brothers had been, I had included him on an armed robbery, so he went to prison with me. Mm-hmm. But he only did 3 to 15, so he had got out and started a family. But he succumbed to substance abuse and mm-hmm. for several decades, and then he died as a result of that. So when I came back, my challenge was to try to, you know, to rebuild family relations, reunify with them, but they weren't in agreement with it. So I had to not really put that to bed, but I had to move on.
Yeah.
There was a big difference when I left. Jimmy Carter was president.
Mm-hmm.
So, but when I came back, technology was what it was. I was truly behind the eight ball. Because you know, all my guys had phones inside. I had turned the corner and I didn't want to get caught doing nothing I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't avail myself to the opportunity to learn how to use those devices. They don't have classes to teach you how to use cell phones, how to email and all that kind of stuff, what Google anything was.
Mm-hmm.
So I lacked digital literacy, if you will. It was a challenge for me. When I was on the court, I needed something from Social Security or Health and Human Services. You just go down there, you pick a number, and you wait, and you talk to a person. Now you got to call them on the phone. You hear that background elevated music for a half hour. They pick up, and you know, it was just really frustrating. Got a phone the second day. I was there in a home. That was really challenging. Not only was it challenging because of the new information that I was trying to process, but most of the adults in my family depended on their children to do their navigating and appliances, so they couldn't help me. So that was an extraordinary challenge. Most of the people who took me around were female. I was challenged by the way that they drove and the fact that they talked to the people in the other cars and the pedestrians in ways that I never experienced before I left. You know, why are you hollering at the man to hurry up and walk when the light just turned green and he has the right of way? Why are you worried about that? Why are you, and they had, you know, little capsules of, I won't even say road rage. I don't even know how you would, what term you would use. But I was just, it was really new. So I sold it. I wasn't encouraged to hurry up and go get my license. I just need to be able to breathe and be comfortable in the car. And I wasn't, especially after the first month or two. But I was challenged by that and the speed of traffic, and I think that was just because I hadn't been in a front seat. All my traveling in vehicles had been in the back, shackled up. So, mm-hmm. So now I'm sitting in the front seat with a driver. You know, so it was kind of like in one of those funny kind of movies where going fast with everything. And so it took me time to get acclimated to that. I was challenged with arthritis in my back and in my leg, so it was difficult to walk around a lot. But neither was I comfortable walking in spaces with a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Challenged by just going to Walmart. You know, I can go to Walmart now and it's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, you know, so I'm straight. But I went the first night that I was out and it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was just overwhelming. So just recognizing the pace of life, my role in it, what I cared to do. And it seemed like I spoke a different language to everybody except people who were in the reentry community. Mm-hmm. I had some connections with several groups of guys who had previously been time with me that got out and was doing very well, who introduced me to different people in different spaces. And I was able to, you know, find some degree of camaraderie and mutual understanding. So when I, for example, went out to a State of Appellate Defenders seminar one time and talked to some guys who had been out 10 or more years, and they were still going through some of the things that I was agonizing over. Mm-hmm. So I realized that, one, it was going to take a little while, or maybe longer than I thought. But two, I wasn't in a hurry because I had a band of people who were just encouraging me to be patient. Mm-hmm. You know, be patient. Don't try to do too much. And then I remember what I reminded myself of before I left, you know.
So you'd say, like, the biggest change that you saw, like, through society is probably, like, technology and things like that.
And how people related to each other. Because the technology interfered with that as well. Because
yeah.
Before I left, I didn't find people doing this everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like people were disconnected and missing the opportunity to greet each other and share. So I can go in the waiting room now and everybody got that. A lot of people don't even pick their head up with the door open. People at the bus stop, walk across the street. So there's an extraordinarily different form of communicating.
Yeah.
And it's almost like people are indifferent to the presence of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost feel like I'm intruding if I go out of my way to try to get your attention so I can and say hi. You might think I'm whatever you might think. And also, that too was really peculiar. I still I'm still challenged by that now as well. Mm-hmm. You know, where is the line in terms of initiating contact with folks without feeling like I'm intruding on their time or their thought? How do I get your attention if you got your head down and you focus on whatever you got? And then what do you think if I'm trying to get your attention just to say hi? Am I bizarre? Am I weird? Or am I strange? Am I peculiar? Or am I just, man, just trying to acknowledge your humanity and say hi? Yeah. You know, you fill in the blank.
That is something I've noticed. I think people are getting more like awkward, like being social.
Right, exactly.
What do you think we as a society can do to support people returning from reincarceration?
One, accept the fact that people that are coming back, regardless of why they left, are still people.
Mm-hmm.
And then their humanity needs to be embraced in the same way that they would have people acknowledge them. See, because incredibly, stigma attached to returning citizens continue to cripple both parties, those who are viewing individuals. Because to me, it seems like there's a them and us mentality. And so that they are less likely to care about the needs of people returning.
Mm-hmm.
People may come back with mental disabilities, or they've been traumatized, whether it was before, during, or after their release, and they need just care. But we don't care about those people returning. And how do we expect them to truly safely acclimate back into society? I think there's a segment of our society that are indifferent to that particular point that I just mentioned. And they don't care whether they do or not, just as long as they ain't living around me.
Yeah.
Realize that people coming back, and not all of them, need specific helps, whether it's mental health, physical health. Some people are coming back and all they need is a fair opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
They need equity,
mm-hmm.
a fair chance. Everybody needs a place to stay. Everybody needs to be able to have access to gainful employment. So instead of being a hindrance, be a help.
Yeah. What role, can you briefly describe your role in A Brighter Way?
In A Brighter Way, I have a twofold role. One, as a peer navigator, where I have personal contact with those men, primarily men, who come through our door seeking our services. And as a general rule, much like myself, when I came to A Brighter Way, I came in need of housing,
mm-hmm.
under the direction and guidance of a friend who connected me to A Brighter Way. But I know, kind of just like I was decades ago, a young man who had a good heart, but I made some poor choices, had some negative influences, and I was led astray.
Yeah.
There are people who walk through our door who want to do things right, don't know how.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them have been doing things the way that they've always been doing and getting different results or results contrary to what they would actually need or have in order to have to maintain their freedom to have constructive and positive relationships with their family and be able to be an example to their children and be a father figure, mm-hmm. be a good uncle, be a community leader. And so, as they come in, I'm able to, one, through my lived experience, where it's required to just demonstrate or provide opportunity for them to see that they have options other than what they've chosen in the past. My hope is that, one, proof positive of the 135 years of combined incarcerated experience in our office has a positive influence. As a matter of fact, demonstrates proof positively that you can choose to do something different than what you've always done in the past. Mm-hmm. And you can start by doing it right now.
Yeah.
So, as a navigator, I'm trying to help people build a better choice of options, choose to enhance the likelihood that they build a sustainable quality of life, mm-hmm. that they never have to go back to prison, and that they can attach themselves constructively to their community, even if they don't claim it, mm-hmm. but begin to see that differently. And whether they continue to face challenges, rejection, disapproval, you know, the stigma still attaches to them, get rejection and where they go. And it's a personal choice. They can choose to see themselves different, present themselves different, then engage in our reentry community, in particular through a brighter way,
yeah.
and then manifest the result of seeing a brighter way of doing things. So that, and then for me, being able to be exposed to people in the reentry work in our community, in the various segments, whether it's healthcare, whether it's providing food assistance, whether, you know, all the services that our community, that we connect people to, is one of the things we say is we provide social support, service connection. So as we reveal how we can support our members by tying them to services, direct services in our community, we hope that those things are the pillars on which they build new lives on, and it's sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you can't keep doing the same old things and expect different results. Some people in our community have gone from being a prisoner in a number to sitting on a bench at some of our local council meetings as a member with a name plaque before them and having a position, and then what they say has some substance and power. So anything's possible.
Mm-hmm.
When we put ourselves in a position to believe it, believe in ourselves, believe in those people who support us, having the right support system. And also, some of us coming back don't have immediate family that support us. You know, I have family who love me, but they couldn't give me the support that I needed, which is how I ended up in Washington County.
Yeah. Okay, final question. If you had one thing you could say to like all the youth of today, what would it be?
Choose wisely.
Mm-hmm.
Don't squander your opportunity to choose. So whether it's the clothes you wear, the company you keep, how you spend your time, what you give your attention to, choose wisely.